Today we're meeting with Jimmy Moore and his darling wife, Christine, and you said you're not feeling well today?
No, I'm just tired and
stuff.
But I'm okay.
Yeah, I understand you had a pretty rough beginning on the cruise.
It was quite interesting, yes.
This Saturday night at the hotel, you had some money stolen?
Well, it started before then. It was Saturday morning when they cleaned our room. There was about maybe $15 or $20 on the front of the television screen, and got back from lunch. Somebody took us out to lunch there in Houston, and it was all gone. And I went to Christine first, because I don't ever assume the worst happens. And I told Christine, I said, "So did you take that money?" And she said, "No, it was on the TV when we left." And I went, "That's what I thought too. It's not there now."
Oh, okay. I was afraid maybe you lost a couple $100.
No. That's here. I don't ever leave that out. But it was just like the ones that we were going to use to tip people in the ports of call. So they ended up resolving it by saying, "Well, our person did nothing wrong, but can we do anything for you?" And I'm like, "What? Well, we'll give you back the 15." I said, "Well, I guess it's around 15. Anyway, long story short, I got $15 back, but they didn't admit they were wrong. But she did have her purse taken the next day. She had emptied out her purse, and we called back about halfway to Galveston. We called back, and they said, "We didn't find a purse," because we were going to stop back. It didn't really have anything of value, and it had the spare car key, and it had some pictures on CD, and of course the purse itself.
Mm-hmm. Nice name brand purse, but I mean, not all those things can be replaced. I mean, I had already put all my passports and credit cards and stuff in this little carry-on thing. So
it could have been a lot worse.
I would have raised more, if it was a lot worse.
So that's the sort of thing you can sort of take in stride, even though
it kind of
hacks
things
off.
Not the worst thing that's ever happened.
Yeah. I went down, I guess right after lunch or right before lunch. I forget. We went down to the fitness center today.
Right.
And I endured this little sales spiel for a $129 detox package. Down there, he's telling me all about how the...
Are you interested in weight loss?
All about how the liver converts fat into sugar. And I said, excuse me.
Carbohydrate.
Excuse me, and he's talking about, and the insulin helps this, and it's like, I've only studied this stuff for about 12 years.
I probably know more about this than you do.
Does gluconeogenesis mean, buddy? See,
I'd be really glad to get us off the show.
Between Dana Carpenter and Howard, absolutely.
Drag Chris up there.
Yeah.
lipidologist.
Oh, wow.
A lipidologist. This being, I don't want to keep you a whole long time. I just wanted to kind of chat with you about how the cruise was going. You guys went out to excursion this morning?
Yeah, it was a haunted house, Rose Hall. It just so happened that Amy and John Dungan and their family were doing it. They told us about it, and I went to Jimmy and I said, "Hey, the Dungans are doing this one. Can we do it too?" And he was like, "Sure." And
so you got to join them then?
Yeah, even though it wasn't Jimmy's thing, we got to tour it with him. And we weren't on the same bus, but we got to be in the same group touring the house. And it was just a lot of fun talking about how she killed three of her husbands and now they claim that she haunts the house and all that sort of stuff.
So what was the name of the tour?
It was the Great Rose Hall Tour, I think, something like that.
Great Rose Hall Tour.
Yeah.
Just not my cup of tea.
So you just weren't terribly excited about all that.
No.
He didn't get into it, and the reason why the Dungans went on it was because Rachel, their daughter, is all into the paranormal.
She saw it on some television show, and
I have a hard time getting into that sort of thing.
Yeah, I have enough problems in real world trying to imagine the fantasy world.
Let's see. Everybody, I'm sure, is already familiar with the story about how you got into low carb. You and your brother were both like really overweight.
Yeah, right.
And now, did you start low carb before your brother died?
Yes, in 2004. It was New Year's Day 2004 that I started. And he had already had his three heart attacks, which basically debilitated 80% of his heart in one swell swoop. And it was about that. I guess he had his defibrillator by the time I started low carb, but he didn't die until 2008.
Yeah. So you couldn't convince him that low carb was the way to go?
He actually tried it for a little while, but it was just one of those things until you grasp the totality of it and not just the, as Dr. Westman likes to say, the Chet Atkins diet.
Yeah.
You have to really read a book, and he never was really one of those kind of people to read the book.
Yeah, I've noticed, back when I was actually starting with this, and I talked to folks about, well, I tried the Atkins diet, but it didn't really work all that well, and I'd dig into a little bit, and then I find that there was this real confusion between butter and margarine and,
right.
and things like that, and it's like, and, my reaction is that low carb is not really the answer. It's just a big part of the answer.
Yeah.
And even Atkins back in the book that we had when we started back in 1999 really wasn't all that particular about, you know, what kinds of fat you should eat.
Right.
And so Georgina and I ran out and bought a deep fat fryer.
Sure.
We used soybean oil and corn oil and deep fry and all that stuff. And we were still losing weight, but in the process, I think we were doing a significant amount of damage to ourselves.
Absolutely.
And the kind of damage that you get from trans fats takes decades to completely wash out of your body, because it's actually incorporated into the mitochondria.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it more difficult to burn fats.
And I think far too often, you know, people hear low carb, and that's all they hear.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't realize you have to eat more fat and the more right kinds of fats, which is why I embrace the paleo community so much, because they're the ones that are really trumpeting that whole cause of cutting the vegetable oils, cutting out the soy, all those things that are nuances to low carb that make it healthier. And I'm really glad this year so many paleo people, you know, came on a low carb cruise. In fact, several of our speakers aren't particularly low carb. Chris Masterjohn, Denise Minger, and different ones. They don't eat low carb, per se, but they don't have to.
Well, you know,
they're not like you and I.
Denise and Chris are, you know, this real cute couple,
yeah.
and neither one of them has a weight problem.
No.
So, even
and
even,
never had.
And never had. That's the key.
which is nice. I wish I had been in that boat.
Yeah.
But, now, you also follow a low carb, right?
I do. I've been strict about it for about 2 years. Really got down and dirty with it, if you can say that, when we got pregnant. We were doing the things where...
Last year,
yeah, where we cut up the liver into small pieces. And
Chris Kretzer, his whole idea to freeze the little bits of liver like a pill.
Oh.
And then that's how you get the liver into you without tasting it.
Yeah.
Is that not creative?
Yeah.
Oh,
take it like
I love liver.
I can't.
All the vitamins
so
are in it that way.
That's how I had to do it in order to get the nutrients in there. But
and
anyway,
Jimmy had to cut it up.
But up until that point, I had been doing it, but, you know, not really so much focusing on what I was putting in my body as far as the nutrients, what this food has in it, Now it's like I'm really careful.
Well, what's most amazing is just like 2 or 3 years ago, her triglycerides were shooting at 300. Something like 290 something. It was really up there. And I said, you know what you need to do.
Yeah.
And she went on low carb. 6 weeks went from almost 300 to 136.
Mm.
Today, your triglycerides are...
I believe they're 50-something, 56 or something like that.
No.
Yeah.
In other words, very good.
Yeah, well, last time I had mine, they were like mid-30s.
Yeah, yeah, and that's typical.
And then, you know, and the blood sugar is, you know, right at 85.
Yep.
And
HDL well over 50.
Yeah, it's close to 70, I think.
I had mine tested recently. It was a 78. Like, there's that saturated fat baby.
And then, of course, my LDL was also kind of high.
Mine's really
high. So the total was, like, just over 200, so I had to go on statins. And
that's
I finally got my VA doc trained not to use statins. Because every time she does, I bark at her.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take a muscle toxin to cure a fictitious number.
Right.
And it's fictitious because they use an equation called the Friedwald, which has been pretty much discredited over a decade ago.
Right.
So they don't actually measure LDL, they just guess at it.
Right, it's calculated. In fact, it says on the report, calculated. They never directly measure LDL.
Good. But actually, the calculations weren't real far off, because I had a VAP-22, and it still showed me in the same area, really nice LDL HDL numbers.
I can imagine what your doctor would think about my total cholesterol.
I was just getting ready to say the same thing. He would fall over.
My total cholesterol right now is 386.
Hmm.
Now, that obviously indicates that something's going on.
Yeah.
And certainly actively seeking out that.
But you just HDL, have, like, familial...
No. Since I've been low-carb, I was down in the 200s with my total cholesterol.
So it's gone up.
So it's gone up for me, the LDL. Now, obviously, HDL has also gone up, but HDL is 78. Trigs are down below 100, something like 84. It's a little higher than I want it to be. But LDL particle size, mostly the large fluffy. But that total LDL is like, 285 of that total number.
Goodness.
It's pretty high. And I've shown various doctors, and obviously in our community, they're like, obviously something's happening that we need to fix, but you're not at any danger from heart health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you got this wonderful heart score.
Heart scan in 2009 came back a big fat zero. Mm-hmm. And Christine was mad at me because last year we got her one. She came back with one.
I was a one.
I'm like, yep. Statistically, honey, that is not even.
That's still a zero.
On that.
Yeah, I think it goes all the way to 1,000.
Oh, okay. So
it's like 0 to 1,000 to 1.
So it was effectively
zero. Yeah, effectively zero. Okay. Yeah, effectively zero.
I didn't know. I thought maybe it was on a scale 1 to 5.
Yeah, that would be bad.
I would say good is considered anything under about 50 or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Dr. Davis was the one that kind of got us on that. Well, you guys were here 2 years ago, right?
No,
well,
last year.
We were here last year.
Right. So, 2 years ago, Dr. Davis was on here when he was just the heart scan blog guy, and he really impressed upon us, hey, get that heart scan done.
Yeah.
It's $100.
And you're still struggling with your weight.
I am.
Do you have any ideas about what's going wrong there?
If I did, I'd be doing it.
Yeah.
But I'm not. Not trying anything. That's the thing that most people do. I'm struggling, so the hell with it all. Won't do anything. Obviously, I think maybe my problem is I'm in the unique position that I know everybody. And it's like, I can't ask them all at the same time, what do you think?
Yeah.
And yet I get a lot of unsolicited advice as well from different people, and I appreciate that. I know they're well-meaning and everything. But I know to do this right, I have to give certain protocols time to work.
Yeah.
So I've been working with a doctor that everybody would know if I said his name, and he's helped me get my testosterone back in order because I had low testosterone and higher estrogen, which could have been making some of this happen. And he's helped fix that, but it hasn't helped with the weight. But there are several people that have theories. I'm willing to entertain them. The next one I'm going to work on, it was after reading Jeff Volek and Steve Finney's new book, The Art and Science of Low Carbohydrate Performance, which I was bragging all about at the conference yesterday, and for good reason, because, they have some concepts in there. You usually talk about trying to get into ketosis, and they're talking about the urine sticks. And that's not a good way to measure ketosis.
Yeah, if you're thoroughly keto-adapted, you're burning them.
Exactly. And so there is and he introduced it, he being Jeff Bullock, in his talk, the whole idea of measuring blood ketones.
Yeah.
And you measure the blood ketones with, it's like this glucometer, except it measures ketones in the blood.
I think I remember you mentioning that on a podcast recently.
Yeah, probably with Jeff Volek.
Yeah.
And so yeah, when I get back, I'm going to do another N equals one. Love your blog.
Well, you know who inspired that.
Yeah. You know who inspired me to do the whole N equals one was Andreas.
Last year.
Yeah, so when he said the Dreamfields made his blood sugar spike, well, I said, well, I want to replicate that for myself.
So it's no longer N equals one. It's N equals two.
That's right. Or as I like to say, N equals everybody, because I want everybody to do these N equals one experiments for themselves. In fact, my dream, I don't have the time to do it, but I would love to see somebody do some kind of a conglomeration where here's what we're testing. You want to participate, you know, enter your information in all these little fields, and then the N equals one becomes N equals, look at all these people doing this. Because I think that's the kind of invaluable information that would...
There's still a problem with that approach, because all the test subjects are self-selected. And that's another problem. And the main problem with N equals one is that you have to figure out some way to deal with placebo and Hawthorne.
That's right.
All the various different psychological effects when you're expecting something to happen.
Right.
And I don't really know how to completely get rid of that. But I do know that my motivations are definitely different from most of the nutritional researchers out there,
mm-hmm.
in that they are trying to get funding, and I'm trying to get healthy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, and unfortunately, the research is about 20 or 30 years behind what real life is showing. So like right now, you and I are sitting here as living, breathing examples of how low carb has improved our health, and yet that won't necessarily be shown in research. Or I think it'll be even longer than that, because low carb's being blacklisted in the research. I mean,
things that don't lead to a prescription pill are just not going to get funded.
That's right, because there's no money. There's no money there. But to get back to the ketosis thing, I want to make sure you get that. It's like a glucometer, except it measures blood ketones.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like a ketonometer, I guess, is what you would call it. And it's from Abbott Laboratories, is that right?
I can't remember.
It's Abbott something. And it's just basically this little monitor. I think it was $25. A doctor sent me one, basically. But it's the strips where they kill you. The strips, if you try to buy them on Amazon, you think glucometer strips are expensive. These are almost $6 for one strip.
Now, can you do them like you do the keto strips, where you take a scissors and very carefully
cut them? No, because it goes in the meter, and the meter is looking for certain things.
That's right.
Just like the blood glucose strips, you can't cut them either.
That's right.
The only thing you can cut is like the urine strips.
That's right. The urine, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. So I went on eBay and placed a bid. I was in a bidding war with somebody, and I finally won 100 of them. It was $405 for 100 of them.
Wow.
But that was $4 a piece, and they're normally about $6 a piece. So I felt quite fortunate that I got them. So when I get home, my N equals one is like something like 90 days, going to measure blood ketone levels every single day.
And you do it once a day.
And do it once in the morning, and that's it. And just be done with it. Because typically your ketone levels are going
to
be highest in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Right. After the overnight fast. So I did it when I got the test the other day when it came in. It was like in the afternoon, but I hadn't eaten in a few hours, and I tested just out of curiosity. It was like 0.1, and it's supposed to be between 1 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what the heck? I eat very low carb.
Have you tried the MCT oil?
I have. It gets me a little bit of nausea.
Really?
Yeah. I
kind of like the taste.
I get that little burning sensation in my throat coming back up. It's kind of weird. I'll burp and it'll come back up, kind of like the fishy burps.
Mm.
But I have tried the MCT oil. Maybe I'm having too much of it, but I cook everything in coconut oil. So
you're going to get some of the MCT with that.
That's right.
It's just not as high percentage.
Because, you know, the MCT oil goes pretty much straight into ketones.
That's right. And I have.
Have you tried mixing it with something else? I don't mean like coffee.
The bulletproof.
The bulletproof coffee. I like the Keurig Gold butter, and I like the MCT oil. and I like the coffee, but when you mix them all together, it's just a mess.
Yeah. It's all gloppy and gloopy. Yeah,
and it even tastes okay, but it's a mess.
Yeah. When I interviewed Dave Asprey, he was saying some of the same stuff about his coffee, and he's like...
So I just didn't take all the ingredients separately and not worry about mixing
it
all.
He doesn't get any type of reaction from it, like heartburn.
Oh, it hits me hard. It's got to at least be a little palatable. Maybe I can mix it with a little lemon juice.
So how much do you take of it?
Of MCT?
Yeah.
When I was taking it, well, at first I was taking like a tablespoon.
Mm.
Like just straight up like I would a supplement.
And that was still bothering you like that?
And that was horrible.
Because I take 2 tablespoons. So
yeah. I took 1 tablespoon and it was just like, ugh, for like 3 or 4 hours. And then I backed off half tablespoon and I still got it. And I was like, coconut oil, please.
Well, what is interesting, and again, you have to factor out the placebo and the heartburn and other psychological effects, but I was noticing a cognitive boost equal to approximately an extra hour of sleep.
Wow.
And the way I noticed it the most was sight reading violin music.
Yeah.
I find things that, it's been a couple hours since I've taken some MCT oil. All of a sudden, this is easier.
Yeah.
It was kind of interesting.
I suppose I don't usually have that issue because I'm always trying to be... And maybe that's my problem. I think too much and I can't rest at night.
You mentioned, though, about listening to your body because... listening to your body is not a bad thing to do, but if you have something of a schedule in your life, I'm hungry at 2:00, well, I can't just get up and leave a meeting and say, well, I'm going to eat my lunch now.
Yeah.
But then the other thing is that Dr.
Ripa?
No, none of these that are here, Mike.
Mikey.
He says, don't listen to your body. Remember, he had a big bug.
So your body will mislead you.
Yes. So you always have to kind of, there's so much differing information. And maybe that's because people are just so different.
Well, and there's not any real consensus on that in the low-carb community. You remember last time I asked the group, all these doctors up there on the stage, about fasting, and every last one of them was, never skip a meal.
Right. You'd get a different response this year if you asked that question.
I will, as a matter of fact. I will. Unless somebody beats me to it, I will ask that question. Anyway, my N=1 experiment for the cruise has been to not eat anything with any sweetener of any kind added to it.
Getting a food reward out of it.
And with one exception, I knew that the cheesecake was going to be done.
It really wasn't overly sweet.
It wasn't overly sweet. What was interesting, though, is, I'm going to do this, and I haven't had any of that, so I'm going to do this. And it was a nice taste, and I was just really savoring it, and I got the second taste, and it wasn't quite as good.
Right.
But, it's still... The third taste started tasting off.
Hmm.
And by the fourth taste, it was not really very good anymore.
Hmm.
And it left this metallic taste in my mouth. So I just quit eating it.
Oh, yeah.
It was kind of, and again, I'd have to replicate that a couple of times and see if I could figure out if there's a psychological thing behind that. But I don't think I've gained any weight. I'm still on the last notch of my belt today.
Cool.
So I wonder what kind of things that y'all are looking forward to in this next year.
Just keep doing the thing. I've found that maybe for me, I'm working too hard.
I was wondering about that.
And that
you think maybe
your
cortisol is helping hurting you?
I think so. And it's ironic that in the task of trying to make other people find the right information for being healthy, that perhaps in some small ways I'm destroying my own health in the process. And I've got to be cognizant of that. And yet I have this, at the same time, extremely high and intense, passionate desire to get the word out.
Mm.
And to meet the needs of my readers and listeners, because they're like, hey, we want more, I know my last name's more, but that doesn't mean I can do more.
People will suck up just as much as you're willing to.
Yeah. And this is true. Well,
especially if it's free.
Yeah. And I'm at the end of my rope of being able to do things. I'm probably going to have...
You're taking this week off, and you say you...
The whole month of May off.
Whole month of May.
Yeah, I'm not going to blog, I'm not going to podcast, anything. I actually, the Low Carbing Among Friends book,
yeah.
I have the whole chapter they want me to write on kind of the state of low carb, so I need to get that finished. The end of May is when it's due, so this will give me time to... Write
is
that.
Volume 2 or volume 3?
Volume 2.
Okay.
And then volume 3, I'm doing 40 recipes for that book. So, I'm deliberately going to take some time off. 2 weeks in July, 2 more weeks in August. Because I think I have done too much. It sounds weird to me because I'm just that kind of person. I just like to go, do things.
And you start pushing yourself too hard.
And I do. I really do. And I recognize it, and yet I still do it. It's just one of those things. I still feel like I have to pay it forward, but maybe I'm paying it backwards to myself by doing that.
Yeah.
And Christine says, yeah.
I fucked at him.
Yeah.
I do. Before I let you go, I do want to get a picture of that
sure.
T-shirt.
Absolutely.
That,
well, I haven't seen it, but we want to get a picture of both of you.
Sure. Yeah.